Maharishi Mahesh Yogi, the founder of this technique, has a nice little phrase about this. He said that when you start meditating, anything that's not simple, natural, or life-supporting starts to fall away. And it happens really gradually, but it happens quite clearly, because now we're having this experience of this pure awareness, which is really our true state being. And we're tapping into this source of all of our creativity, all of our intelligence. We're doing that very naturally. And so then everything maybe that used to grip us or overshadow us just starts to fall away.
Welcome to the Restaurant General Manager Podcast. I'm your host, Scott Stanfield, the GM coach. I have the privilege and honor to interview some of the most successful people in the fields of human performance and leadership. You can listen to the Restaurant General Manager Podcast on your favorite platforms. If you have Apple Podcasts, please do me a favor and subscribe. Also, please stay tuned for a free gift from me. Hugh Jackman said, "Nothing has ever opened my eyes like transcendental meditation has. It makes me calm and happy, and it gives me peace and quiet in what's a pretty chaotic life." I tend to follow two things. One is the evidence, and the other is how something makes me feel. There are more than 380 peer-reviewed research studies on the Transcendental Meditation technique being published in over 160 scientific journals. These studies were conducted at many U.S. and international universities and research centers, including Harvard, Stanford, Yale, and UCLA medical schools. Some of the findings are a 48% reduction in death, heart attack, and stroke. Plus, the Transcendental Meditation technique has been proven to lower blood pressure, anxiety, and increase longevity. Since I have another podcast titled The Modern Longevitarian, I am cross-pollinating with this episode while still maintaining a focus on restaurant managers and chefs becoming better people and leaders. Considering what's happening in our world on this day, with a global pandemic, reopening the entire planet, and now peaceful protests and riots, who does not need a way to lower stress and anxiety? We all do. Since December, I've been utilizing this style of meditation, and there is good reason why I have developed a healthy daily addiction. Now, please enjoy my interview from January with Emily Fitz Randolph and Denny Goodman from the Transcendental Meditation Center in Santa Monica, California. Why would a podcast on restaurant leadership have an episode on meditation? Simple. Because meditation, specifically transcendental meditation, works. That's why. It works for me specifically, and it works for people who have a lot more stress and a higher anxiety level than people who work in restaurants. This can help combat vets with post-traumatic stress disorder. It can help us handle the heat of the kitchen on a busy Saturday night. On today's show, we have a certified transcendental meditation teacher who works out of the Santa Monica, California Center. Emily Fitz Randolph, welcome.
Thanks for having me. Happy to be here.
This is going to be so much fun because this is not hardware driven. It helps with hardware. We're going to talk about that a little bit, but it's software, which is the brain. So tell us a little bit about yourself. Tell us how you got into meditation, and you're a 25-year vet at this.
Yeah, that's right. So I've been meditating pretty much my whole life. My parents practiced this technique, and they were practicing before I was born. But I learned the technique when I was 10 years old. And one thing that's great about TM is that children as young as 10 can learn, even kids as young as 4 or 5 can learn a slightly different technique. But I learned at 10 years old, and I was able to practice right away. And I really experienced the benefits even from that young age. And I meditated my whole life, my whole childhood, and, you know, went off out into the world and did a number of things in my career. And I had meditation always in my pocket. There were times that I meditated more, times that I wasn't as regular. But when I meditated regularly, it was the most amazing game changer. So I've had this sort of as a tool for my entire life, and really, really love that I've had the personal benefit, which inspires me to be able to teach others.
Mm-hmm. That is such a gift that someone's parents could give their child, is the ability to meditate and be able to do this. Once we break down into what the benefits are, wow. I'm in my late 40s and I'm just getting started on this, you know, on a consistent basis, just less than 2 months, and I see the benefits. And so I'm excited about you know, exposing my children to this. My son turns 18 in the next month, and my daughter's 12. Now my wife has been meditating, doing some sort of meditation for a long time, and even when she was younger as a kid too. And we'll get into talking about kids in a little bit. But I want to talk a little bit about how I got started, because this really got started with me on a journey about emotional intelligence. And people who listen to podcasts know this is something that I go deep on, emotional intelligence. But it started with listening to a talk on YouTube by Daniel Goleman, who wrote one of the first books, if not the first book, on emotional intelligence, talking about TM and transcendental meditation. And then years later, I saw Jerry Seinfeld talking about it. And then he did an interview on his Comedians in Cars Drinking Coffee, interviewing Howard Stern. And they talked about transcendental meditation. And I just see so many people talking about it. Ellen does it on her show. And she talked about it with Bob Roth on his show, or her show, excuse me. But one of the things that really drove me to really want to learn more about meditation in general, and not specifically transcendental, was I used to listen to the Tim Ferriss show all the time. And he wrote a book. I don't know if you heard of it, Tools of Titans.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so he interviews top 1%ers in their industry. And then he took the first 200 interviews and basically created these Cliff Notes reference pieces to each one of the podcasts. And they started connecting dots. And over 80% of these 1%ers meditate.
It's really staggering, right? Something to it.
Absolutely. It's just been, you know, and when I saw that, I was like, okay. And I've listened to, at the time, I'd listened to almost all of those podcasts. And I was just like, and 80% of these people meditate. One of the other things was none of the men at the time over 45 ate breakfast. And I had, you know, been doing at the time intermittent fasting and skipping breakfast. I'm now 8 years. So that was probably 4 years when I started, you know, listening to that, and or when the book came out maybe. And so, you know, that was another big, you know, confirmation for, you know, health in a certain way. So I've been talking, I haven't even asked you a question really, other than how you got started here. But you know, why did you were doing something before this, you were in the big financial world. Why did you become a certified teacher?
What is the most important skill a restaurant manager must own? Is it writing schedules, reading a P&L, or controlling cost? The answer is none of the above. For over 25 years, I've been managing and leading restaurants, and this is what I've learned. Each and every shift, you must be prepared to deal with heated guests and employees. Learn my step-by-step method to turn the tables on unhappy guests and employees. Titled Upset to Happy in One Conversation, this is more than just a free ebook. To start taking your guests from upset to happy in one conversation, click on the link in the show notes or go to my website, thegmcoach.com/upset-to-happy, to get your free copy today.
Yeah, no, you know, and I like this part of my story. I always talk about this when people are coming in to learn, because, you know, I love teaching TM because it's really practical, like you were talking about, right? It's a tool that we can use really practically, and we can fit it into our busy life. And yes, I grew up doing it, but then I had this very busy job. I was in recruiting, in finance and consulting firms, on Wall Street and in New York City. It was, you know, high intensity job and long hours. And there were times, like I mentioned, that I wasn't using the technique and I was sort of going. And I got to a point in my job thinking, I just wish there was some simple, natural, effective tool that could help me release my stress, you know, because I was feeling stressed and anxious. And I remembered, wait, I have this amazing tool, TM. But I wasn't doing it regularly. You know, I'd do it maybe once in a while or once a week or a couple times. And I thought, let me just commit to this again. And I started doing this practice. And it was such a game changer in just noticing that suddenly I had this little place to go to that practicing, we do it 15 to 20 minutes in the morning, 15 to 20 minutes in the afternoon. Suddenly there was this little reset button in my day and I could think more clearly. I could kind of throw off the stuff I even woke up with, you know, that kind of residual trade anxiety. And I felt more clear. So I had brought it back into my life and got very regular at it. And it was so fulfilling to be doing this thing, watching the changes in me. I also had a number of friends learn kind of on their own at that time, and they started noticing the benefits. And I thought, well, this is so valuable. And can I do this full time? It would be much more satisfying to me to do this than what I was doing at the time. And so I made this big transition and went to the training. It's a 6.5 month, very rigorous training to teach TM. And then I ended up moving to sunny Santa Monica and really landed in a wonderful spot where, you know, people are open and wanting to learn this technique, but also, you know, a lot of stress in their lives. So I found this technique really, really helps.
Yeah. So if we could highlight some of the benefits of, you know, transcendental meditation, you know, if you could like just bullet point some things for us about what this does, yeah. And then we'll kind of break that down from there.
Excellent. Yeah. So first I'll just start by saying it's a super easy technique. And we always really start with this, that it's easy, it's effortless, because it's different than other meditations in this way. So we do this technique, and I can talk even more about that. And then we start to very dramatically, very quickly notice benefits. And there's sort of four key areas that we can define. We notice benefits to our mental capacity, our intelligence, our mental health. We notice benefits in our overall health, physical health. We notice benefits in our relationships with other people, just sort of how we interact with the world, how we are in the world. And then we even have more benefits more broadly, which I can go into, and sort of our, you know, individual meditation can actually benefit the world more broadly. But very simply, you know, we've done a lot of research on TM, a lot of research, maybe over 700 scientific research studies have been done. Many of those published in top tier blue chip peer reviewed journals that show that, you know, this stuff really works. It's one thing for us to talk about it and say, yeah, we feel great and we feel more clear, but what's actually happening in the brain? So I'm happy to kind of get into some of the research on any of those areas specifically.
Wow. I mean, how much time do you have? Really? Yeah. Because, you know, if we could talk about, I mean, there's things I think that I think everybody really wants to have a little bit less stress in their life or figure out how to deal with the stress. Yeah. And, you know, and then how can they help do something to help themselves physically? And so interesting story, really interesting story for me. I've been doing a lot. My parents and, you know, and my parents got cancer in their 50s. My dad was 55 and got prostate cancer. He just turned 71 back in September. So, but he had to go through chemo and have his prostate taken out. My mom went through a similar situation. She had to have a hysterectomy, and she's, my mom's, you know, she's in her late 60s now, and they're still, you know, kicking up dust and creating a ruckus back in South Carolina. But my point being is, ever since then, I've been doing a lot of things. I was a pescatarian and vegetarian for 10 years. I was almost vegan for 6 months, which was a long 6 months of my life, right? And I've been biohacking and intermittent fasting and keto now for 4 years. But something really interesting happened to me. And I've been doing transcendental meditation for less than 2 months. And I noticed about 10 days ago that the left side of my goatee is not as gray as it was. Am I getting younger?
Yeah, I love that. So, you know, TM, they've done a lot of research on actually what's happening to the aging process. There's this really great study that you made me think of. When people meditate, they've done studies on long-term meditators. And this was actually a study done on those who'd been practicing for at least 5 years. But I love that you're seeing results right away. That people who've been practicing for 5 years or more have a biological age 12 years younger than their chronological age. Mm. Right? And that's pretty dramatic. And this was a study that was done measuring a number of people, 5 year meditators versus a population who'd been meditating very short term versus a control group. And they were measuring hearing, vision, and blood pressure specifically in this, that they saw that this chronological age, right, what we appear to be, so say you're, you know, 50 years old, and you've been meditating regularly for 5 years, your biological age might be closer to 38, right?
Wow.
Really dramatic. And they're doing a lot more research now looking at telomeres right now. That's sort of a big, hot area, looking at telomeres as a sign of the aging process. So hopefully there's more studies and research to come soon on TM, on telomeres. But yes, you know, what we're doing fundamentally when we practice TM is we're giving the body very, very deep, profound rest. We're settling the whole nervous system down, the whole sympathetic nervous system down. When we're stressed, the sympathetic nervous system is sort of upregulating. It's on overdrive. And we have this experience of stress, which can manifest as, you know, more cortisol in our bloodstream, you know, high blood pressure, elevated cortisol levels, clogged arteries, etc. But what this is just manifestations of stress, right? We could say that 80 to 90% of all illness is psychosomatic, and it's caused by this stress, right? So you mentioned having stress in your life. We all have a lot of stress. When we start to practice TM, that stress, those knots of stress start to be dissolved, right? So we're actually down-regulating that sympathetic nervous system and up-regulating the parasympathetic nervous system, which is responsible for conservation and rest. And that sympathetic nervous system, which is responsible for that fight or flight response, which we find ourselves in, starts to simmer down, right? It becomes down-regulated. So we see very quickly that we feel better, our stress experience becomes lessened, and then as a result, the whole body starts to respond. So, you know, your experience of less gray hair, absolutely, right? We're getting that chance to get deep rest. Now the body is getting balanced across the entire spectrum. So we're starting to have that experience even physiologically.
Yeah, I did this research on what causes gray hair a couple of years ago, and to see if there was a supplement I could take. And basically what happens is our bodies, as we age, stops producing an enzyme that breaks down hydrogen peroxide in our bodies. And we're basically bleaching our hair from the inside out because of the aging process. Now, it's an interesting really piece of the puzzle is that I was aging because of stress, or I'm now getting younger, or my body's now producing the enzyme that it wasn't a couple months ago because I'm doing meditation, because I've changed nothing else. My supplement regimen's the same. My diet regimen's the same it has been over this time. I'm managing a busier restaurant than I was a year ago at this time. And so all of those things are coming in, they're indicating that nothing should have changed and that I still should have gray hair on the left side of my goatee. It's just really kind of an odd thing. And so
that's a great experience.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. I've also noticed an increase in emotional intelligence. Mm,
yes.
And when I, in my beginning training, now my actual teacher is Denny Goodman, and he's may pop in a couple minutes here and there. He's in between teaching other folks and exposing them to TM. But in the beginning part, I had, you know, I worked down the street, well, about 10 blocks away, and I made it to work after meditating with Denny in the morning, and I got to work a little bit earlier than normal, and the staff didn't really know I was at work, and I was in the back, and I got a phone call from a bartender and told me that she was in a car accident, and she was calling it such an odd time because the bartender was already due at work and those things. And my first thing was like, are you okay? What's going on? And she's like, I'm going to the ER and my car's totaled and those type of things. And then I said, and you're calling me because you're the mid bartender. She's like, no, I'm the opener. And I'm like, oh, no, nobody had realized. And I hadn't gone out to check, which is my fault as a opening manager, because I was back counting money and writing floor plans and checking emails and doing those things. And none of the rest of the staff had really looked up. Now, we've had conversations about communication, looking up and making, you know, those things. If, you know, Scott's back in the office, which restaurant manager offices are kind of like closets that they like put computers in. Right. And so they're really kind of small, hidden with no windows. But anyway, long story short, I come out and we've got private dining event that starts 30 minutes after we open. We don't have a bartender. So we're kind of scrambling a bit. And I found myself calmer than I had been, even though I define myself as being super calm and so solution-based in comparison to where I would normally, as I would call it, become emotionally hijacked and panic in a way. And I was able to like find a bartender who was off work, willing to come in. Our staff jumped in, set up the bar, did all these things. But I was more solution-based than I had been even in some other times. And I was calmer. And when I say calmer, I could tell it on the inside. It wasn't just the outside exterior of that. And so can we talk a little bit about building this, what I call a moat or distance between reacting to our emotions and in high-stress situations and what meditation brings to that?
Yeah, that's a beautiful experience. And that's so indicative of exactly what this meditation is doing. People very quickly have this experience, like you did, of this ability to now handle the situation with more ease, right? We're still aware of what's happening. You know, we're not suddenly not, you know, aware of what's going on. We're not totally zenned out. Now we're more focused, but we're maintaining some internal calm, this sort of restful alertness. So this experience we have when we meditate, we settle down, the mind starts to transcend, the body gets this very, very deep level of rest. And we have this experience we can call restful alertness or inner wakefulness. And this restful alertness is really this experience of transcending. Now, we have that experience in meditation, but this is not a meditation that's just, okay, we meditate and then we get out of the craziness and now we're back in the craziness. No, we're actually starting to pull that experience out into our day. So this experience of restful alertness comes out. It comes out with us. And physiologically, we start to have those experiences. So in the case where now we have things in our environment that are coming at us, we have an ability to pause. We're maintaining some distance between us and the situation. We're no longer overshadowed by whatever it is in our environment. Sometimes we use this analogy, you know, say you're driving down the 405 or the 101 here in California in LA, right? And someone comes up to pass you and passes you quickly and you almost drive off the side of the road, right? Super stressful event. Now, in a normal day, that's intense, right? That stress experience, we could consider it like etching a line in concrete, right? That stress is in there. It's going to take a lot for that to go, right? Maybe you're going to be 100 years old and you're still talking about that time when I almost got killed on the 405, right? Well, we have that experience. But now, you know, after a little bit of time, after some meditation, same thing could happen, right? Now someone cuts you off and you still careen off the side of the road, but this time you recover more quickly. And we could say that that experience is like drawing a line in sand, right? That we can wipe it away, right? That experience doesn't really stick. It's not in there, right? And after time, after more meditation, we could say this thing happens, whatever it is, and it's like drawing a line in air, right? No amount of stickiness of that experience. That's what we start to feel from practicing transcendental meditation. And what's really happening is now the physiology is getting used to this experience of restful alertness in the meditation, and it's coming out very physiologically. There's been a lot of studies on the brain in TM, and when we meditate, this very unique brainwave activity, alpha-1 brainwaves show up. Now, this only comes when the mind is active, it's awake, it's alert, and yet the body is very deeply rested, very, very settled down. So we get this paradox state, and alpha-1 brainwaves show up. Now, these brainwaves are indicative of higher states of consciousness. They're very orderly, very coherent, and they create this synchronicity or coherence across the whole brain. So when we practice TM, we start to see, if you were wearing an EEG cap measuring your brainwaves, you start to see this alpha-1 brainwave pattern show up. But then even more significantly, they've done studies with people outside of meditation, and they see that in meditators who've been meditating for a little while, now outside of meditation, those alpha-1 brainwaves, those very coherent brainwaves, are remaining. So they're not staying just in meditation. They're sticking around now outside in our waking life. So now we can handle whatever comes at us, right? Any kind of stressful situation, we're more clear, we're more focused, we're less gripped by all that stuff that's holding on.
Yeah, you know, I was making a connection between Dr. Travis Bradbury. He was co-author of the book Emotional Intelligence 2.0. And he says one of the things to do to increase your emotional intelligence was to clean up your sleep hygiene. And the connection I was making is that when you're actually meditating, it's more restful for the brain than it is if you're actually sleeping. And I don't know if that is actually the connection is correct or not, but it sounds like, because what you're talking about, these alpha one brain waves are really like just bleeding over into our day-to-day life versus just the 15 to 20 minutes a day we're meditating.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And you know, you're right to think that this is much deeper rest than sleep. So TM, not a replacement for sleep by any means, but you know, if sleep was enough for us, we probably wouldn't need meditation, right? Because sleep would do its job of getting rid of all the stress. We'd feel refreshed. We'd feel good, right? We wake up the next day and we have that experience. We get sleep at night. We wake up, we feel good, right? But it's not really addressing that deep-rooted stress. So this technique comes in and now we're addressing stress on a much finer level. So the rest that we get physiologically during the meditation, in some cases can be as much as 2 to 3 times deeper than sleep, but in any case, it's more unique because when we meditate, we're maintaining awareness, right? We're awake versus sleep when there's no awareness. But now in this meditation, we're maintaining awareness, but the body is feeling as if it's in deep sleep and all the physiological indications of deep rest are there. So in TM, oxygen consumption goes down, metabolic rate goes down, respiration rate goes down, and yet we're awake. So then when we come out, right, we've had that deep reset, that deep rest to the whole physiology, which only took 15 to 20 minutes, very, very deep rest. And then we come out and it's as if, again, we've had that total reset, that kind of internal shower in the whole physiology. And now we're more clear. So we're able to handle anything that comes at us.
That's absolutely amazing. So let's back up a little bit. Let's talk about the history of and the origin of transcendental meditation and where it comes from. And then we can start breaking down on, you know, other elements of it and how it can, and how to do it a little bit, maybe, or whatever you can talk about in terms of how people can learn how to do it.
Yeah, happy to. So I'll say this, you know, TM, it's interesting because when I meet people, either they've heard of TM for years, you know, oh yeah, I'm kind of aware of it, or they've never heard of it ever. And transcendental meditation has actually been around 5,000 years. It's not a new thing, right? It's been around 5,000 years and it's from this ancient Vedic tradition. So it predates India. Ved means knowledge. And this meditation technique has been passed down for thousands and thousands and thousands of years. And it was brought to the West in 1950s by Maharishi Mahesh Yogi. He was a monk in the Himalayas of India, and he was very popular in the 60s for introducing TM to the Beatles. So a lot of people know about TM in that way. He was on the Mark Griffin Show. Did you hear about TM from back then? Were you aware of the Beatles learning?
It does come to mind now when you mention that. But what I remember is the same thing as Howard Stern and Jerry Seinfeld talking about how they learned it. And it was a big thing back in that age.
Yes. Right. So there was sort of like a boom, right, in the 50s and 60s. And Maharishi came and he was teaching this technique that was specifically designed for what he called the householder, right? Us, busy, active people, not for monks in the caves, right? This was a meditation that was designed to be done 15 to 20 minutes in the morning, 15 to 20 minutes in the afternoon, and getting all the benefits that you would get from a meditation with no work to it. And I'll talk more about that. But he brought this technique out and started teaching as many people as possible. So the Beatles learned, that was sort of a big boom. And then there were other waves with, you know, celebrities learning. Jerry Seinfeld, David Lynch learned, Howard Stern, and those guys have been practicing, they say, you know, 40 years never missing a meditation, which is amazing. And I know David Lynch certainly attributes all his creativity to TM. But this technique's been around forever, and one of the important reasons why it's been around forever and it's taught in the same way is that, you know, we want to maintain the integrity of this technique. We don't want it to be lost by, you know, someone coming in and maybe taking some piece out or taking some other piece out, and then we're not doing TM. So we're trained to teach this very systematically. We teach in the same way. We teach in the same way that it's been taught. always. And we maintain that tradition. And so it's really important, you know, if you learn TM, to learn from a trained teacher who knows how to address every experience that you're having and essentially guide you to, you know, having that correct experience. Some people, you know, it's absolutely compelling to want to, you know, Google something and go on YouTube and try to learn this technique. I get it. But it's not going to work unless you have someone who knows exactly how to address these different experiences, because we're all different, right? We all have different physiologies and different experiences. So when you learn TM, you're taught from a trained teacher who teaches you exactly how to use this technique so that it works for you every time. And then you're on your own, right? We say that it's portable, it's DIY, you can do it on your own. You don't need any special meditation chair or incense or candles at all. And in fact, there's no belief system or religion or lifestyle change to TM whatsoever. It's very practical. It's a tool, right? So I love when I teach, you know, skeptical people or people that come in and they say, what is this? Why is it, you know, why can't I just learn it, you know, on the internet? And of course, I get that inclination. But when we teach it, we make sure that you're having that correct experience so that it works every time. And you don't have to believe in it. Even if you're in a bad mood or you're, you know, in your car. I used to meditate in New York on the subway and I'd have amazing meditations. So we don't need to be in any special situation or have any special mood to do this technique, which is fantastic. Super, super practical.
For someone busy like me, you know, working, you know, 10, 12 hours a day, 5, 6 days a week in a restaurant, high stress, I've been able to carve out, you know, 20 minutes in the morning. And I don't do it in the afternoon all the time. Sometimes it's when I get home, because it's hard to stop at the restaurant and go, hey, I'm going to meditate for 20 minutes and go sit in the private dining room or something like that when you're going into a later shift. So and Denny did talk to me. He said, if you're going to do it later at night, just, you know, do a little bit shorter one. So, because it'll give you a burst of energy and then I'm up too late.
That's,
you know,
right.
Those type of things. And so I'm not following the exact prescription, but, it's worked so well for me. And this is how I got here, was the same thing you talked about, was here I am hearing about meditation, you know, literally being peppered into all the research I'm seeing on emotional intelligence over the years, you know, and those things. And it just is part of the fabric of our melting pot in America that we hear about meditation. And even Gary Vaynerchuk, I don't know if you know who Gary Vaynerchuk is, but he's a New Jersey brash guy who does a lot of social media stuff and has one of the fastest growing social media agencies in the whole country, if not the world. I think he has like 800 employees now. And he said meditation is going to be the yoga over the next 20 years. It's going to be the thing that really catches on. And so here's someone who's, you know, standing on stage, being very blunt with people, I mean, even cursing a lot more than one normally in his, in the spotlight, right, is talking about meditation. And so this is something that's really coming on. And that's one reason why I wanted to talk about it. But I couldn't find anything about transcendental meditation on YouTube or online or, an app or anything like that. And so I had done things like Headspace and 10% Happier, and using those and focusing on your breath and doing all these guided meditations that were on YouTube. And then one day I was on a website somewhere on my phone and it popped up for one of the classes that you guys do, or the free introductory talk by certified TM teachers. And you and Denny were in front of the room and came in. There was probably about 30 people in the room. Mm-hmm. And, but that's how I got exposed to it. And then about a week later, I decided to do it. And for me, it's been amazing. So what makes TM different than any other type of meditation app that we see out there or what we may see on YouTube?
Yeah. That's a great question, because, you know, it is. I think meditation, I would absolutely agree that it's going to just become even more and more and more the standard thing that we do, very, you know, because it's like a tool, like anything else that we can use to improve everything in our life. But yeah, you know, there's a lot of meditations out there and they all, or many of them, or most of them can have a huge benefit. And they all have sort of different ways of really approaching the same thing. And we like to say there's thousands of rivers to one ocean. You know, there's many ways to get to this place, this experience that we want to achieve, and a lot of different meditation techniques. Now, we can kind of say that there's three main categories of meditation, and I'll cover this briefly. But the first category of meditation is a focused attention or a concentration meditation. And that could be like your standard classic meditation. Maybe you're staring at a candle flame in your mind's eye, or you're focusing on the breath or some mantra or some particular thought. You're focusing. And anytime the mind starts to wander, we sort of bring it back and we bring it back. And this is where sometimes we can have this experience when we practice these meditations of feeling like a failure, right? I have this monkey mind. I can't control my thoughts and I'm not doing it right. Or it's hard, right? Now, these meditations can actually be really wonderful at sort of training the mind like a muscle. And the mind can, in some cases, become sort of so exhausted that we sort of slip into this beautiful state of nirvana. But we don't know if we're going to get there every time. We don't know how long it's going to take. And sometimes the process can be taking a lot of discipline, a lot of forcing, a lot of trying, a lot of effort. And when they've done studies on these meditations, it shows that the type of brainwave produced during these types of focused concentration meditations is this gamma wave. It's a very high amplitude, high frequency brainwave. Same brainwave produced if we were doing a math problem or focusing in on some problem. So that's the sort of first category of meditation. Now, the second category of meditation we could call contemplation or open monitoring meditations. And mindfulness can sometimes fall into this category, or other apps like Headspace, Calm app, apps that sort of allow us to be guided by maybe thinking about, we're walking on a beach, or we're thinking about peace or love, or contemplating some idea, or even allowing the mind to watch our thoughts come and go. So there's some element of contemplation. And these meditations can be really, really beautiful at sort of bringing us into the here and now, into the present moment, especially very active walking mindfulness meditations where we're engaging with our environment kind of on an active basis. Now, these meditations produce a different type of brainwave called a theta wave, which is actually the same brainwave produced when we're dreaming. And they can be really beautiful, very lovely, calming us down. But what both of these meditation categories do, focused attention or contemplation meditations, they're kind of keeping the mind on the surface. So we're either focusing in on some point, or we're allowing the mind to float with some guided direction, some intention. Now, what TM does and why it's unique is that it falls in this third category. It's called automatic self-transcending. And what we're doing with TM is we're allowing the mind, using this little technique, to transcend that busy, active surface level of the mind and experience this deep, settled, calm depth where it's very silent, very still. We could call this state of least excitation, where all of our mental activity is starting to settle down. So we're not caring about the surface. We're not trying or focusing or with any intention working up there. We're allowing the mind and body, due to the nature of the mind, to start to settle down. And that's when this third brainwave activity that I mentioned shows up, this alpha one brainwave, which is very orderly, coherent brainwave. But if you look at these three brainwave categories, gamma, theta, and alpha one, you can see that alpha one is actually the least amount of effort to get there because the body's deeply rested and the mind is just awake and aware. So that sort of defines how these three kind of categories are all unique and all can kind of bring us to this place or have the goal of bringing us to this place. But how TM is unique in that it's just allowing us to tap into that source of thought where our mind and body feel completely calm, completely still, and we're doing this with no effort. So I can talk a little bit about how we do this, and I'll just briefly mention, and I'd encourage anyone listening to come to an intro lecture because those are really helpful and just sort of, again, defining what this is, what we're doing. And that's really the first step to learn is to come to an intro lecture and kind of hear a little bit more. But
you may not remember this, but I fell asleep during the intro lecture.
Oh, did you? Well, something got in there, which is great.
I knew I needed it, right? And it was there. And then I was like, okay, let's do this. And I've had more energy and need to drink less coffee now than I have. And I'd say I've slimmed down a little bit. I'm eating a little bit less through any type of stress pattern eating process I've had. So I'm not trying to interrupt on how to get there, but you mentioned the intro lecture and I was like going, oh, I fell asleep multiple times during that.
Yeah. That can happen. Absolutely. It's a lot of information we're giving, and we're talking about this very settled, quiet place, and you're not the first person to fall asleep. Absolutely. But I love what you said about even, you know, weight loss, feeling like, you know, these things that maybe we used to have some habit around that maybe wasn't completely healthy. People experience dramatic results in finding that they're sleeping better, they're eating better, they're losing weight, maybe toxic relationships are starting to fall away. Maharishi Mahesh Yogi, the founder of this technique, has a nice little phrase about this. He said that when you start meditating, anything that's not simple, natural, or life-supporting starts to fall away. And it happens really gradually, but it happens quite clearly, because now we're having this experience of this pure awareness, which is really our true state being. And we're tapping into this source of all of our creativity, all of our intelligence. We're doing that very naturally. And so then everything maybe that used to grip us or overshadow us just starts to fall away, right? So I love that you're having those experiences.
Yes, amazing. So you were going to get into a little bit more, you know, about the technique.
Yeah. So I'll save a little bit for the intro when people want to come in. But essentially, when you learn TM, you're learning a mantra and the technique of how to use it. Now, these mantras are very different than what we think of when we think of the word mantra, because we're using them for their sound value. They don't have a meaning, but they're specifically designed to allow the mind to transcend. So they're time tested. Again, they've been around thousands and thousands of years. We haven't changed them. And it's very important that you have the right mantra, which is given to you by a trained teacher. And then you're taught how to use it, because it's a very specific way we use this mantra. And that's what allows the mind to sort of go with it. So I'll talk a little bit about how you can learn. Again, I mentioned first step is to come to an intro, and that's really helpful. There's some introductory lectures online too. Earlier, Scott, you mentioned Bob Roth. Bob Roth is a phenomenal TM teacher, been teaching many years. He has a couple great introductory lectures. So if you're wanting to kind of do it that way, you can Google Bob Roth Transcendental Meditation Intro and see what he has to say. But he goes over kind of what I'm saying. It's a great introductory lecture. But essentially, you'll come to a lecture, and then to learn this technique, it's a little bit of upfront commitment. But then, like you mentioned, Scott, you know, it's really simple when you get into this practice. You're doing it 15 to 20 minutes twice a day, ideally, but even once is going to give you a benefit. Absolutely. So you'll attend the intro, and then you'll come back for a four-day course. And it's really important that you can commit to these 4 days. So each day, it's about an hour, hour and a half. And the first day you are instructed in the technique, and then the following 3 days, we refine the process. So you're getting this experience of your own experience, experiencing this technique genuinely for you. And then you're having that intellectual understanding, and the experience value and the intellectual understanding coupled together give you that experience and that stabilizing experience so that you're on your own able to do this forever. But that 4 days is really crucial that you can take the time, about an hour, hour and a half each day, to learn in a dedicated course and really get the most out of your practice. And again, you'll know you'll have little questions, you'll have experiences, and this teacher will be able to guide you through that process so that it feels super solid and super stabilized for you.
It was a great launching point for me, for sure. I'm a testament to, you know, how the process works. And, but I want to tie back in the kid piece too. I mean, I don't want to, and we'll get back into how to learn some too, but we're running a little bit short on time. So I want to make sure we get back to this. All right. So I have this interesting take on ADD.
Yeah.
Because, you know, here I am in the restaurant world and it's fast paced and we switch tasks so quickly. You maybe at the expediting window, and then someone becomes asking you a question because somebody's at the front door and wants to talk to you. And then you've got the dishwasher that's clogged up in the back, or floor drains are overflowing, and a delivery's coming in, and all these different things are happening. And so I encourage young people to actually go, okay, instead of being labeled with something that is a negative, why not find an environment that actually you benefit in from being able to switch tasks quickly. And maybe that's what was intended to happen anyway, because in school, they're trying to get us to sit down and be quiet and pay attention and do those things where your nature may be to actually be up and learning with your hands on experience versus actually, you know, sitting down and reading something, or you may learn by listening versus reading those things. But my whole point of saying this is that if somebody has a kid who has ADD or has been diagnosed with that or ADHD, you know, how can TM help a kid or even an adult that has a tendency to, you know, bounce around with different things?
Yeah. Well, it's a really great question. And I love your take on ADD because, you know, it's true. We do have this sort of standard formula that we think we all have to learn by and move by and, you know, navigate the world by. And we're all different. We know that, right? And we all have different ways of expressing ourselves and dealing with things. But the beautiful thing that TM does is, you know, and I'll say this first, when someone learns TM, you know, I think I made the point earlier, sometimes people feel like, well, I don't want to be too chilled out, right? You know, if you've got a stressful job, you've got to be on the ball, right? It's not like you want to become like, well, just this Zen guy, right? You want to be able to be focused and in touch with everything you have going on. So TM, there's no risk that we're going to become so chilled out that we're going to miss a deadline or not be able to do what we need. No, we're going to become more focused, more able to focus in on what we want. We're going to have that entire scope of our mind to pull from instead of just using what psychologists say we're using, which is only 5, 10, 15% of our mental capacity. We can use our entire scope of our mind. So they've done a lot of research on kids with ADHD and adults. But what happens when we practice TM is attention starts to improve. We gain better control over our emotions, right? That emotional intelligence. We start to be less sort of tossed around by everything in our environment. And that's sort of a real sign of ADHD, where we're pulled and stimulated by things in our environment, that kind of inability to focus in. So now we're not saying, well, you know, then through any effort, try to focus. No, what we're saying is we're going to calm down the body's response to the external stimuli just by creating homeostasis in the body, right? Just doing what it naturally wants to do, just calming it down so that we have better memory, better ability to cognize, recognize, remember, behave in certain situations a little bit better. So TM just helps reducing anxiety, reducing stress. And often in someone with ADHD or OCD, even stress and anxiety exacerbate what's already happening in the body, right? And we know this across the board that when we're stressed, things just seem worse and we don't feel as in control of our emotions or behavior or memory or organizational skills, whatever we need to do. So ADHD is absolutely affected by practice of TM. And, you know, I mentioned, I was talking about other forms of meditation, having some sort of element of effort or trying. TM is so easy, so simple when we practice that it's almost amazing to realize that these huge benefits are coming from such a simple practice, but it's because it's so effortless. We're not creating any strain, anything in the body. We're allowing the body to just get that balance and get that rest. We're staying out of the way.
Even Tony Robbins said that the idea of sitting down and not thinking of anything for 20 minutes for him didn't work. And right. I think, and I, you know, I did those type of meditation where you sit down, focus on your breath, try to like not think of anything. When you did, push it out of your brain. And I ended up coming up with this like whole crazy mechanism where it's like, okay, here's a thought. And over here on the right side of me is a, like a clothing hanger that has these big gold rings on them. And it has these bubbles, right? And I could push the thought into this bubble. Here's my boss, and here's the, you know, here's the problem I have at work, and here's like, oh, I got this bill to pay, and I get to push them into these bubbles, and then basically the bubble would, like, when it was full, would go up, and then these big cyclops, golden winged birds would swoop down and take the thought away, and I could see it going away and fly and being carried away, and then okay, there's the thought going away. And I don't know if that was actually what the whole process of clearing your mind was talked about, but that's how I cleared my mind away. I had a process of doing that and was able to do those. And I'm sure it helped me in some ways, but man, TM is a completely different process of that, and it's simple and easy.
Yeah. And I mean, that sounds beautiful, but complex.
Right. Yes.
The bird or the hanger part. Oh, right. I think the bubble's full. No, but I love that, right? Because we do. We overcomplicate things, and we do this all the time. And TM is really simple. It's not any of that. There's no concentration, no control, no focusing in. We're letting this little technique work for us, right? And that in itself, a lot of people come in and they say, wait, I got to do something. I got to try it. I have to do this. And it can be that learning curve to even just get out of the way, you know, but it works. And then we find that it works and we feel, I'm feeling good in the meditation, feeling good after the meditation. And I'm noticing benefits, right? Wow. Even after just a couple days, couple months of meditating.
Right. And we're seeing some things. When I say we, I'm counting myself in here because I've been doing a lot of research on this, preparing for the podcast, but there's things with inner city kids and there's things with vets that have come back from combat that this is helping. So, and I think the David Lynch Foundation is doing a lot of this work, but if you can expand on some of that.
Yeah, absolutely. So really, really amazing work. So we, Marishi Foundation and David Lynch Foundation partner on this, right? We're all sort of under the same organization, but the David Lynch Foundation specifically has been focusing on these sort of underserved populations, teaching veterans with PTSD, inner city school children. Like you mentioned, we have amazing programs. Here in South Central LA, for instance, we have on-site teachers, TM teachers, who come in and teach meditation to the kids. You know, it's all an opt-in thing. And the kids are getting incredible benefits, right? Now they're just able to calm down and focus and pay attention and these things. So we can teach kids. We also teach domestic abuse survivors and, you know, others that have maybe haven't had access to this technique or don't feel like they have access to this technique. And so the David Lynch Foundation is bringing a lot of TM to, you know, hundreds of thousands of people. And there was even a grant by the US government to teach the military because we've seen such amazing dramatic results with teaching veterans and others in the military this technique. You know, they can be focused and alert. And again, you know, in a very stressed brain, and I won't go into detail, but we're all familiar with this fight or flight response, right? And when we have a lot of stress, when that prefrontal cortex is kind of on overload, our amygdala, which is responsible, that part of the brain that's responsible for that fight or flight experience, is kind of on overdrive. And so we're experiencing everything in our environment as this fight or flight situation. TM starts to calm down that, again, that sympathetic nervous system starts to calm down the amygdala so that we can be more balanced. But what we do when we teach TM is we want to make, you know, bring this technique to everybody as quickly as possible and make it, you know, really, really easy for people to learn as fast as possible. So that's a really big focus, is, you know, really teaching people who need it the most.
So let's say that somebody says, okay, Scott, Emily, you got me. I'm ready to get started. How can they, I mean, cause you don't have to come to Santa Monica to learn how to do this. How can people start learning TM?
Yeah. So first step is I go on tm.org and there's a map and you can find a TM center near you. There's hundreds of TM centers all over the country. And like I mentioned, a great first step is to come into an intro lecture. You just get a chance to meet the teachers. You hear firsthand what it's all about. You can ask your questions and they'll go into a little bit more detail on how you learn. If you can't make it into an intro, there are online intros that you can watch. So you can start there. I mentioned Bob Roth's intro. But find a TM center closest to you, and then you can come in and sign up to learn from a dedicated teacher. I mentioned it's a 4-day course, and that's, again, important. So if your sort of first requirement is to learn is that you can set aside the 4 days. And it's just about an hour, hour and a half each day, so it's manageable. And each center kind of runs their courses a little bit differently, but, you know, we're dedicated, you know, full-time teachers, and we teach as many people as we can, as much as we can. So first step, go to tm.org and find a TM center closest to you.
Right. I know Denny's available 7 days a week, like from 5 a.m. to 9 p.m. He's there all the time.
He is. Right? Yeah. So Denny's amazing teacher. He's been teaching, been practicing, you know, over 40 years. He teaches all hours. So wonderful teacher. And we all try to teach as much as possible. I typically start courses on Saturdays and Mondays, and You know, it's something that when you start looking into TM, you'll realize, wow, all these people do it. All these different kinds of people do it. You know, you were mentioning Ellen and Howard Stern and Oprah and, you know, David Lynch, Jerry Seinfeld. But that's sort of the tip of the iceberg. So a lot of information online with how you can get started to learn.
It is. And one I'd forgotten, I just remembered, and I didn't know if I'd have a chance to bring it up, but this is a good point, is Ray Dalio as well.
Yes. Yeah.
With the Bridgewater hedge fund, most successful hedge fund in history.
That's right.
And so he's not an actor. He's not a creative. But if you look at his all-weather fund and how he actually broke it down to where understanding the volatility of stocks, relation to bonds and gold and treasury notes and those things to create a system of investment that over 85 years had three losing years, you can say, okay, there's another dot that I can connect and go, maybe I should try TM. Now, there's one other really cool thing about this, because is that there's ongoing support too, right? There's like, you can go and get a refresher course, maybe even when you might even move 10 years from now and go to another TM center. And so if you can just elaborate on that a little bit, and then we'll wrap it up.
Yeah. So it's a really amazing follow-up program. So, you know, there's a course fee, there's a fee to learn, but we do make it, we try to make it as easy as possible. And it's a tiered approach. It's based on your income level. So you can pay one time or you can pay over 4 months, but then that's it. And you have access to any TM center, any teacher, anywhere in the world for free for the rest of your life. So that means, like you mentioned, follow-up programs. So once you go through that 4-day course, you can come back in and meet with your teacher one-on-one or any teacher for these little tune-ups, we call them, where if it's ever not feeling easy or you have a question about your practice or maybe you're having trouble getting in that second meditation, you can come meet with a teacher and they'll give you some tips and tricks. And we also have refresher courses. So if you ever want to go, want to take the whole 4-day course again, which you can do as many times as you'd like for free. But you can do these little 2.5-hour refresher courses. In Santa Monica, we do them once a month. So they're a great little reset and resource. We do retreats and really just lots of amazing lectures and follow-ups and group meditations. Again, here in Santa Monica, we do 6 every week. So a lot of access to the TM Center. So you as a meditator have the opportunity to be as involved or as not involved as you like, but it's an amazing community. And, you know, I don't know, Scott, if you've been into any of our group meditations recently. I think I saw you there the other night.
Yes.
How do you like?
I didn't come this week. Was busy, had some things fall on top of it on Sunday morning, but yeah, I have been coming for the last probably two and a half weeks. I've been coming to some of them. And, you know, those meditations are even deeper than the ones I do on my own. And it's been amazing. I think one is how long does this have to go? Or, you know, when's 20 minutes going to come up? Or those type of things. You're kind of just letting somebody else kind of lead the way. And so, I mean, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but you're asking me. It's been going to the group and plugging in. And actually, you know, you're sitting in a room with people, you know, sometimes 20 people, and, you know, and we go around the room and you say, how long have you been doing it? 2 years, 40 years, 37 years. Mm-hmm. I mean, and you're like going, wow, this is just regular everyday people that have regular jobs like anybody else in any other part of the world. And they've been doing this for 20, 30 years and they see the benefit of it and they're still coming and plugging into a group. And it's been, you know, like I said, it's been an absolute amazing experience for me and I can't recommend it any higher. And that's why I asked, you know, you and Denny to be on the podcast, even though we didn't get Denny on, we got, you know, 100% Emily, but it's been an amazing process for me.
I'm so glad, Scott. And actually Denny just walked into the room.
Hi, Scott. I'm in the middle of teaching, but great to be here.
Well, thank you, Denny, so much. We've been talking about just been a lot of good things though.
Okay, good. Thank you very much.
No, thank you for being my instructor and thank you for giving as much as you do. I mean, being available all the hours you are and being at all the group meditations that I've been to, it's been an amazing experience.
We're all in because it's not a job if you love what you do. It's what we do every day. I just love to show up and just keep the doors open 7 days a week and anything we can do for anyone who wants to help improve their lives, we're very happy to help.
Yeah, well, it's been a life-changing piece for me, and it's, you know, impacting the people that, you know, that are really close to me, people like my family and people that I, well, I'd say family at home and family, you know, at work as well, because, you know, restaurants are full of, you know, just that's our family, that's our work family, and that's who we spend our time with. And anytime we can share anything with them to the people who are interested, it helps the collective get stronger and get better and have less stress and maybe a little bit less gray hair too, right?
Everybody wins. You know, it's your happier, healthier, everybody around you is the same way. The world
absolutely
around, reflection of how you treat yourself, especially on subtle levels. That's where TM is really effective at dissolving stress that's keeping you from appreciating your life and keeping you from what you love to do most. And work is included, and family especially. And there's an old saying, I don't know if Emily mentioned this, but if you water the root of a plant, the whole plant gets nourished. It's very real. You tap into the source of your pure essence of yourself, the intelligence that gives rise to the DNA, that gives rise to the most miraculous piece of machinery on the planet, the human nervous system. And everything starts to function more freely, effortlessly. And then everything we do from that, life is much better. Every day, it, like you said earlier, it doesn't stop. And people meditate 50, 60 years, and they keep coming back because they love it.
Right. Well, I can't thank you enough. And you're right. You're 100%. And I just, out of respect for your time, and I know Emily had to go go teach somebody meditation. So I'm just going to wrap it up here and say thank you so much for being on the show and squeezing us in on this Monday. And I look forward to seeing you in a group meditation.
Likewise, Scott. It's always a pleasure. I love teaching with Emily too.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Scott. This has been wonderful. Mm.
It has been. Thank you so much.
Thanks a lot, Scott. We'll see you soon.
Take care.
Take care. You've been listening to the Restaurant General Manager Podcast. I hope you visit again soon. Please like, comment, and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. You can find me, Scott Stanfield, on LinkedIn or at my website, thegmcoach.com. Please stay tuned each week for new episodes of the Restaurant General Manager Podcast. Thanks for listening. We'll be right back.